episodes of The Rule Against. This is Mitch. Brad and Matt are not here with me tonight. It's the couple days here after the event down at Ballpark Village, where we had a lot of soccer celebrities in St. Louis come out to talk. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. We normally have a podcast every week to talk about St. Louis soccer, mostly St. Louis FC and what's going on. But this week we're going to strictly focus on MLS to St. Louis. The first interview that we got a chance to do was with Taylor Twellman. Taylor sat down with us after the press conference that went on before the rally, and we were lucky enough to get him to come in firing. He was quite pumped up after talking to the media and had a few things to say with us. In fact, we got started before I could even hit record. So as we go through here, get a chance to listen, hear what he has to say.
Sit at the bars and restaurants for a cards game, then go to the soccer game. Like, that's what we're... I just hope people realize that 20, 30 years down the road, if we live our lives in this weird bubble, life is black and white. And all of us that grew up here have Cardinals memories and Blues memories. Well, that was tax money, by the way, and not a single one of us can tell you how much tax money was right. used on Busch Stadium or the Red Sox coming here and all those Bostonians coming here. No one comes to St. Louis anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm scared shitless because of that. Mm-hmm. No one goes to St. Louis anymore. What are we doing?
Yeah. The zoo's nice. It's a great zoo. Right. One of the best in the world. But you can only get they're only going to pass by as they're driving through to somewhere else. We need them to stay for multiple days.
And look multiple at your, days. Yes, and look at your fan base. You guys are young. You're progressive.
Well, not us. But
right, no, it is. Is younger. Yes, everyone's it younger. Is. It's new. It's different. It's very encompassing of everyone, which is unique.
It is. It's accepting it's of, one of the color, few sports. Exactly. Race, economic stature. It doesn't matter who you are, you can go and have a good time.
Yeah.
The soccer haters have come out and had a good time with us.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it, and it's not expensive.
Sorry to interrupt you, but Atlanta, Orlando is the two areas where I've been pleasantly surprised. Because, listen, Atlanta is an awful sports town. We've seen it.
No, it is.
With the Falcons when they were bad. Everybody loves a winner.
The Flames, the Thrashers.
The Braves couldn't sell out games.
They lost two NHL teams.
Right? NHL's left. The Hawks are in and out. And yet,
it's amazing.
That fan base, 30,000 season tickets. Orlando City is college football country. So I think the fan is more educated. I also think it's part of the times where the access to the sport of soccer. If we were doing this podcast 10 years ago, I could
What's
probably
a podcast?
Pull, right? that, and I could pull a couple fastballs by it because you guys might not know. No way I could.
No way I could.
If I said something about Dortmund or I said something about Liverpool or I said something about, Champions League, you guys would go, actually, that's not true. That didn't happen.
Right.
So the education and the access to the sport, MLS and soccer in this country, if St. Louis is not involved, and listen, Don Garber won't say it. He knows MLS is better with St. Louis in it.
We like to think so, but
seriously, he knows. Going back to 96, they wanted it here.
Of course they
but
do.
But now we've got the right group to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm really afraid that if we miss this opportunity, it's gone.
And this ownership group, for the first time since I've been even involved, and this ownership group has come together. It's been an 11-year process in a convoluted way. I've never met, particularly Paul, who I know from Boston. I know he's a Midwest guy, but I know him from Boston, Bain Capital. I've never met someone that cares more about the community and the city than he does actually about the soccer.
Yeah.
And that, to me, means it will work.
The hard part is that people have a natural distrust of rich people. So,
But do you blame them?
No, not at all. Absolutely. Well, that's what I'm saying. But to hear people like yourself who, from the mean streets of Manchester, now on ESPN, this is who they need to hear it from. They need to know, hey, this is not a bad guy.
If I didn't believe Paul. I mean, we all know Jim Cavanaugh. His heart, he bleeds St. Louis.
Right.
I didn't need to really convince myself on Jim.
No, not at all.
Paul came in and he talked more about downtown St. Louis than he did about the product.
And
I'm talking about soccer.
And that's also smart business, too. That's the flip side of it.
Right.
These guys don't get into things to lose.
Nope. And he's from Kansas City. And I will tell you guys, in 10 years, Kansas City has done a 180.
It's amazing.
It used to be, who goes to Kansas City? No one goes to Kansas City. Now it's, why would you go to St. Louis?
Right.
And that's got to change. That has to change. It will change. And I don't think it's because of the soccer stadium. I do think the soccer stadium pushes the needle and pushes the momentum to say, let's do it.
As somebody that works in IT, IT people are young, progressive thinkers. That's just the nature of it. They're soccer fans because it's internet-based. It's the conversations. Yeah. And now it's not just IT people anymore. I mean, my son's 12, and he's glued to a phone all day long. And he said, hey, did you see Sidney Crosby's goal? Did you see Kaká did this Power Ranger thing? They know before we know anymore.
Yeah.
It's a different methodology. And if you're not cutting into that, then you're dying.
No, I just hope it's, you know, we can do this podcast. We can talk about it all day. I hope the voters show up. And I hope the voters show up because they're educated.
Yeah.
Don't just show up and say no. If you say no, you have my respect. But I'm going to ask you three questions. You better know the answers to them. And if you don't know the answers to them, then don't tell me tax money isn't going to be refunded.
What are your three questions? I want to hear the three questions from you.
How much tax money is going in? And I hope the first answer is, well, actually, it's a business tax, not a residence tax. That's the first thing I learned about this. Because immediately I thought, oh, man, you're going to ask residents after the TWA Dome is what it is? How many times do you have people come to St. Louis and say, I'm driving in, I'm parking, I'm going to the game, and I'm leaving? How many times do people come to this city and stay? How many times do people say, I'm going to downtown St. Louis for dinner? Like, I can't think of another city like this. And that drives me nuts.
They'll go to Pockets. They'll go to Shaw. They'll go to, Sewell. Yep.
But it is in and out. I mean, you said it in the press conference. Your parents, and my parents are a perfect example. If they're not going specifically to a Cardinal game or to something at the Fox that they want to see.
I should have said that, by the way. I sounded so one-dimensional.
Well, but it's true. They go for a single event, but they don't come throughout the week. They don't come, you know, like on a Thursday when they want to go out to dinner. They just don't.
The common answer I got on social media, too, was, well, the city's asking – well, the team's asking the city for $60 million and we get $5 million back. I was like, no.
Yeah.
You get $77 million.
And that's
and the
five, by the way, how many times have you read effect. How many times have you read that number?
Yeah. Well, and the $5 million that they're mostly talking about is this community benefits agreement, which is something they didn't have to do.
No.
They're offering to do that. And I say that's a conservative estimate because I know Jim Cavanaugh. Jim Cavanaugh gives our group $5 grand every year for whatever charity we're
doing. You should see
doing.
What Paul Edgerly has done with philanthropic. It's
so that's just minimally what they're committing to. But
those
these
business
guys are
leaders.
Do a
so
lot.
I had the pleasure of going to lunch today with a bunch of business leaders and just talking to some aldermen via email, text, or whatever over the last month. And yet that community agreement, I asked them how many times did Stan Kroenke show his face.
He never did. Never did.
Well, and Don Weber being here today, the commissioner of the NFL never came to St. Louis.
No, but the owners, you'll see Jim Cavanaugh. You will see. No, you don't even see Bettman is exactly right. And the Savas Center's had its, right? So it's just like, it's such a convoluted process to me. Here's the other one for me that I would ask voters. If the Union Station was rebuilding and they got tax benefits and they got all this, would anyone really care? Does anyone even talk about it? No. If there's tax benefits to bring in, if we brought in
IKEA, $186 million in tax benefits for IKEA.
And what do people say?
Yay, we got free furniture or cheap furniture.
Right? I mean, seriously, they're still complaining about having to assemble the thing themselves.
Alan wrenches.
Exactly.
But we got meatballs out of it. But that's the point. You know, it's just everybody else gets it. Why can't we have a little smidgen for something that's going to get back?
Yeah,
and it will hopefully jumpstart other development downtown.
That's the key.
This isn't the silver bullet. People keep saying this isn't going to solve the problems. No, it's not going to solve.
But
all
somebody
the problems,
opens a bar or restaurant across the street.
And well, it's a little over a mile from Busch Stadium directly to where the stadium is, and what I literally picture, and I've said this 1,000 times, and people just picture it. Saturday at 1, it's Cubs, Cards, and Chicago Fire in town. That game that night, national game of the week on ESPN. Nobody's leaving that mile.
5,000 people will come down from Chicago for that.
Bingo. Bingo. And young
spend,
professionals.
And have a hotel room.
Thank you.
And I'll get a hotel room so I don't have to drive home.
Yes. And young professionals, when they see it on ESPN and see the environment, are going to say, as they do now, I'm going to go to Seattle. I'm going to go to Portland. I need to go to St. Louis for a game. And now all of a sudden you're on the map. When the U.S. qualifies for a World Cup in this stadium, so it's not like – Otherwise, if we don't, like I said, we're still talking about solution.
That was something I was gonna mention. Bringing it back away from taxes, back to football. I am tired of driving to Columbus. I'm tired of driving to Sporting Kansas City. I'm tired of driving to Soldier Field. I want more U.S. games here. I'm tired of watching my national team 400 yep. miles away. The two games we've had here, the New Zealand game and yep. the St. Vincent game, yep. were massive hits. What was it like for you, and how badly do you want that?
I think that opened the eyes of everyone within those executive decisions of saying, wait, St. Vincent and the Grenadines sold out and how quick?
Yeah.
New Zealand sold out how quickly?
I mean, the St. Vincent games, I mean, they were $70. They were a lot of money.
No, and they sold out that quick. I think the one thing that stood out about those two games is that when the U.S. national team plays here, both men and women.
I'm done.
It's awesome.
What's your name?
Thanks, Taylor.
Always good to see you.
Brad.
Brad, how yeah. are you? Brad, Dan.
So, as you caught the end of it there, Taylor was getting pulled out by the people that be, and here comes Don Garber, MLS commissioner, in to interrupt us. Which, you know, if you're going to get interrupted by somebody in all this, the guy that runs the league is a good person to be able to interrupt you. Don was able to sit down with us, ask a few questions. One of the things that was great about talking to Don was that, you know, the handlers were outside waving him to come in, or come out of the room and get moving to the next appointment, and he was very intent on answering our questions and taking care of us. Say what you will about the man as far as how the league is run, but you know, he gave us a great deal of respect in the conversation, and it was a pleasure to get to talk to him. So listen and hear what he had to say for yourself.
That was planned.
Yeah. I went to grade school with Taylor, actually. So when he, you know, his dad runs a soccer camp my kids go to.
Their bodies took different directions.
Yes, but. Yes. His is a little more professional than mine.
We're with Don Garber and Dan Quartermach from MLS.
Yeah, I would say so. Well known. Thank you guys for taking the time.
Good to be here.
Exciting little conference there.
What'd you think?
I mean, people have legitimate questions. I think you guys answered them the best you can. Yeah. I mean, the question I have for you mainly is, you're spoiled for choice right now. You've got 12 good cities, good ownership groups trying to get in. We've been close before, but what makes this ownership group for St. Louis different than what we had in the past, and what might make it right now?
Well, I think there's two answers. One is, it's the ownership group, and it's the fact that the ownership group has a stadium plan, and one that's downtown and captures a lot of the energy that's been reverberating around MLS in some of our new successful cities. Paul Edgerly is a guy that I've known for a long time, and I've known Dave since my sponsorship days. Everybody in our business knows Dave Peacock very well. And I just met Terry, you know, within the last year. And I've known Jim on and off for a long time because he's really one of those true believers in many, many ways. So I think you guys are got a lot of momentum. The big vote coming up. That'll be the key to whether it happens or not.
The league came about in the mid-90s just as the internet was rising. And as the internet came about, you know, with message boards and Facebook groups and stuff, supporters groups kind of happened. And we're a supporters group, and that's what we do. And you've had to embrace supporter culture. Is it something you've latched onto, or is it something MLS kind of has to tolerate, kind of thing?
You know, I think there's a third one, because I think, and this has been a controversial statement that I've made over the years, I think MLS is one of the drivers of the supporter culture in our country. I've heard that from Bruce Arena and from Sunil Gulati and from Dan, that before these little pockets of supporter groups were growing in our stadiums, American Outlaws was, you know, infinitely smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And now the supporter culture has turned into a movement. And that movement represents sort of the heart and soul of our sport, not just our league, but our sport, but certainly driving a lot of the energy in our league at the club level. That doesn't mean it's easy. You know, all businesses need to evolve to changes in culture and changes in society and changes in the way people communicate. And if you're smart and nimble, then you'll find ways to properly engage so that everybody gets what they're looking for. In the case of supporters, an environment that respects them and ultimately gives you the tools to be able to be a supporter in the stadium, because you're not allowed to bring in drums and flags and chainsaws into an NFL stadium.
We still want to know how they got that approved. Chainsaw, wow.
But, and I know you guys want to ask a lot more questions, but I also think that it leads us to having to be mindful of the evolution of the supporter culture, to be sure that we're all continuing to work together to grow the league without you thinking as supporters that you're working with the man in the suit. And we think about that with the Puto chant. Mm-hmm. And most of the supporter groups have been the strongest advocates to working with the league and our clubs to eliminate that. We work on it with them on crowd behavior. As you know, in Mexico, you might not have seen this, but in San Jose this weekend, Morelia played Club America. There were a lot of issues at that game. And that's a big article in the largest media outlets. Mm-hmm. And that then gets pushed down to all of you. You're a supporter, therefore you might have issues like existed at this exhibition game. So I would say that it's the most unique aspect of what we do. Last point I'll make is without the supporter movement, MLS isn't what it is today. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
And you used the word nimble, and I'm glad you did, because that's one of my favorite ways to describe how MLS has grown. You brought up the internet, and there's been a lot of things like that. But one of the things that I'm seeing with kids and being involved in youth soccer is that we're seeing the rise of American players be forces. You know, we had our Landons, we had our Taylors, but now we're getting to the point where these kids are wanted overseas, where there's a draw for them. And here in St. Louis, we've got Sargent. Josh. Thank you. Sorry. I'm going to call him Jeff, and I'm like, that's a hockey player. But you know, here's somebody that we have our club here, St. Louis FC and Gallagher, who, you know, the kids come up through it. You know, we've got all the different areas. Kansas City has the right to throw down on a homegrown on them. You know,
on Josh, so he's in Kansas City's.
He's in their
territory,
right?
Territory, and that's where it ultimately goes. Is that with these territories? How do we get a chance to keep our players? How do we get a chance to work it forward to make sure that, you know, the areas that may not have an MLS team can get their kids to stay around?
You know, that's a big issue and a question that I can't give you a short answer to.
Absolutely,
I think it's tied into the whole development process that we as a country in Canada in their own way need to go through to ensure that we're getting better. You know, it amazes me. I mean, this is now my 18th year, and I've been on the U.S. Soccer Board for 18 years, so even longer than Sunil. And I've seen the evolution of the development programs at the Federation also have to be nimble. Where does MLS fit in? Where does USL fit in? The NASL fit in? Where does the DA fit in? The development U.S. Development Academy fit in? Ultimately, we've got to get better. So when I followed what's gone on in the last game, and we went to almost not qualifying if we lost and having everybody turn the country upside down, fire the commissioner, fire Sunil, break apart the league, and you know, all Armageddon is upon us. We win 6-0, and now the pressure's not on. But I think we've got to look at it. It's where leagues and federations have to get out of what's happening every day and come up at 30,000 feet and really look at what does the pyramid look like? How do we invest in the pyramid? Where does MLS teams fit in? Where do territories fit in or not fit in? Where do we have enough revenue so that we could continue to invest at $2 to $3 to $4 to $6 million a club underneath the first team now in MLS? And then when that can't work because we don't have a team, how does the USL get better? So that maybe they can get up to $1 million a year in development as opposed to that being their player salaries. So this is a project that is still in midstream.
Good.
And I'm convinced if we remain focused and we don't overreact, if we're nimble and confident yet fearful of what we don't know and fearful about, you know, not making the right decisions, if we continue to be focused all the time, then we ought to be able to get better.
One last question.
Oh, for they're me. Flagging us.
One last question.
Okay. Brad mentioned that you've got 12 team cities lining up here. A lot of teams in USL, they have really great attendance. Okay. We don't. We're kind of constricted by our little USL field.
Yeah.
But we've had a bad team for 2 years. But our attendances have kind of been stable, you know, even though we've had a bad team. Is that something you look at, the stability of attendance, even though...
Yeah, well, you do, for sure. You know, certainly Cincinnati opens your eyes and Sacramento open your eyes. But again, I think it speaks to the way we think. You can't think that you have ever cracked the code to make soccer in America work differently than it's working now. There's a natural evolution of it, and there are certain things that happen that defy your expectations. I remember sitting in 2006 in Toronto and having a very well-known soccer columnist, sports columnist, Neil Davidson, the Canadian Press, who basically said, this Toronto team is a USL team or a...
I think they were a PDL team.
And they get 1,000 fans a game. What possible facts do you have that makes you think that TFC will be successful? Well, they don't have their own downtown stadium. They don't have MLSE behind them. They don't yet have the energy that ultimately you've seen them having now. And look where they are. And then you have a team like Orlando that hit it out of the park, and Portland hit it out of the park, and Seattle hit it out of the park. But Atlanta had, I think Atlanta was at a couple of thousand.
Yeah, with right. Silverback.
Yeah.
And now they're at 45,000.
That's amazing.
So yeah. It teaches you that if we ever, and it's hard for a fan to think that way, but at the league, we never kind of, you never feel good about where you are. You're kind of in this zone of, yeah, I guess continue to be smart, continue to get focused, continue to invest, continues to get the energy of owners, continue to engage properly with fans, and know that on any given day, 51% of the people who are involved in deciding whether you do a good job, hopefully 51% say good, except the fact that 49% might not agree. So
as you can hear, Don, you know, very, very pleasant, very knowledgeable about not only our area, but how the game is progressing from where we, the fans and supporters, stand. I also don't know if you caught it or not there, but there was a nice little joke he made about, you know, he felt sorry for the British guy when Bird had to ask his question there at the end. So that was, you know, again, great guy to talk to. Hopefully we get to see him a lot in the next couple of years coming around to talk more about what St. Louis FC, whatever we're going to call it, hopefully it stays the same, ends up being. After this moment, you know, where we got to talk to these two guys at the offices that they were stationed at, we all headed over to the Ballpark Village to go to the rally. Obviously, we did not ride in the same vehicle as those guys did. We had to walk. They got the top-notch treatment that they deserved. Headed over there. Luckily, our good friend Fred was able to grab us a few moments with some people as the presentation was getting ready to start. So first off, he managed to get the heavy hitter, the big guy from Boston, originally from Kansas City, Paul Edgerly. Paul gave us a few moments before everybody was hustled down to the stage to get ready to go. Really neat guy to talk to. Got a few moments off mic afterwards as we were walking down, and he's a genuinely good person. I think there's a little bit of a momentum going on in the media and the antagonists that are looking to discredit him based on his political views, being a more conservative voter, it seems. And you know, unfortunately, that's just not fair at this point. Paul has a genuine concern. His philanthropy is very exquisite. He's done a lot up in Boston, which is on record. It's worth taking a Google for a few minutes to find out what you can about him. But this is the kind of guy that fits in with our ownership, with guys like Jim and Tom, who have constantly donated money to our causes that we raise money for. You can tell that this is one and the same. They're all cut from the same fabric. So we were lucky to talk to Paul. Here's what he had to say.
We're with Paul Edgerly, the chairman of SCSTL, the man who's going to bring us an MLS team to St. Louis.
We get to talk to everybody, but now we finally get the heavy hitter here. This is exciting for us.
It's a great pleasure.
Thank you, Paul, for making time. We know you got a few things going on today.
It's an exciting day for all of us.
I hope so.
Why St. Louis? Well, I mean, we know you're Kansas City. You've been in Boston. What drew you to St. Louis?
Well, you know, I was with Dave Peacock when the decision was made to have the Rams leave St. Louis, and it just seemed crazy. It's such a great town, such a great sports town, such a great soccer town, that it made us wonder, you know, could we bring MLS to St. Louis? And as I spent more time, it's crazy, right? That there's that there are MLS teams and there's none in St. Louis. So it just seemed like a natural fit. I've been lucky. I've had a chance to be involved in a few professional sports teams, the Boston Celtics and AS Roma, the soccer team in Rome.
No history there between those teams.
Well, and that was kind of what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, St. Louis has a rich history, but you're a gentleman that's used to walking into rich history. It doesn't get much bigger than the Boston Celtics or AS Roma.
Well, I think we have a chance. You guys, look, at the end of the day, this is a place where you've had 70 years of, you know, soccer support in this town. This is a town that really put soccer on the map in the United States. And it deserves, and it'll be a great, you know, Major League Soccer town. It's obviously already a great, you know, USL town. And so, look, I thought it'd be fun. I'm lucky that I've had a chance to sort of combine my business interest with my passion for the sport and my belief that if done right, it can make a big difference in the community. So it just seemed like a natural fit.
And that was the one thing that we kept hearing for the past couple of weeks is that community aspect. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, they hear soccer teams, they don't really understand how much that community give back is important through the youth clubs, through charities, right. And we, you know, we got a little bit of inkling. Taylor went on about it today, you know, that you're all about the community.
He's seen you in Boston and what you've given back to the community in Boston. Yeah.
So when we heard these kind of things, it's like, okay, that's the kind of people that make these things work. We know Jim and Tom and those kind of guys. Right. We know what they already do. But to know that they've partnered with somebody that holds those kind of core values of giving back to the local municipality, it's we couldn't ask for anything better.
Well, as you guys know from being here, Jim is the best. I mean, I think what he's done and the way he cares about the community, that it was a great person to partner with, the right connection in St. Louis. And look, I do think, you know, if we're all lucky enough to have a few advantages, we should find a way to have an impact. And I think in some ways, my family, my wife and I are very involved in a bunch of philanthropic things, but I would say my involvement with the Celtics has a bigger impact in a community building sense than anything we can do just in a pure charitable sense. Because
it opens a few doors, doesn't it?
Well, it opens a few doors, and the players themselves can be great role models, and it brings an organization structure to things that actually makes a big impact. So, as I've said a couple times about the CBA agreement, the community benefit agreement, I think in a great way, it sort of crystallizes things we've guaranteed will happen, but I truly believe both Jim and I think that will be just the beginning of what's done. And look, it's not just by us. It is about the fans, right? I see what happens with the Celtics. It's what the fans have a chance to be part of and give back to in a way that we can organize the group to make a difference.
Sounds great. We're hoping for a positive vote next Tuesday and hope to see you at St. Louis Soccer Park this summer.
I'm going to be in the park on Saturday for the game. I'm looking forward to that.
So you've got to come down to the tailgate and have one with us.
I would plan on getting there. You tell me where to show up. And if there's free beer,
we're in the
far
corner. Free beer, free food. Our tailgate guys put it on. We'll take care of you.
I love buying millionaires beers. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Somehow we usually end up giving free beer to the millionaires, or in this case, billionaires that can afford their own. But that's quite all right. That's how, what we do. One fan at a time, right? The free beer movement. Again, really, really neat guy, really unique person to help lead this to the next step. And hopefully on Tuesday, when you get the opportunity to vote, if you live in the city, you are going to vote yes on Propositions 1 and 2. It's worth mentioning, don't forget, you have to vote yes on Prop 1 as well. That without that, Prop 2 doesn't exist. We have to have Prop 1 go in first. So at this time, we're watching the great presentation that's been online. You can check it out. There's great pictures that Jason Petrillo and other members have taken that have been published. Afterwards, everybody was getting pictures and enjoying the moment. We managed to sneak a quick moment with Dan Flynn of U.S. Soccer in the hallway. Unfortunately, we got interrupted because he had to head out. The interruption was none other than Don Garber. So if somebody's going to interrupt you, at least it's the commissioner.
With Dan Flynn, U.S. Soccer. Great to see you back in St. Louis again.
Oh, it's always great to be back in St. Louis.
So, I mean, from your perspective as a U.S. soccer fan and a St. Louis soccer fan, how important is a stadium to the city?
Oh, it's critical. I have the great pleasure of traveling around the country and seeing the rebirth of several cities where soccer and the stadium has been instrumental to that rebirth. And so it's a great way to connect downtowns, connect millennials to our downtowns. So it's critical. It's mission critical for us right now, and hopefully in the next 7 days we pull out the vote.
And with our location being, you know, right in the middle of the country, fairly safe to say we will get some of those U.S. men's and U.S. women's qualifiers here.
Yeah, no question about it. We're super interested in that. We had great success here in the last couple outings we had for the men and women. And actually, we probably would have been back. But the baseball stadium doesn't quite configure as well as the soccer stadium. So it's really important to us. So.
Take care. Dan, I'll see you later.
All right, Don. Thanks. Yeah.
This has got to be fun when you guys talk to them.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Again, if you're going to get interrupted, at least get interrupted by the commissioner. A good chance to sit there and talk to Dan. Dan, from St. Louis, went to St. Louis University, was a key part of the Billikens 1973 championship. You know, this guy has St. Louis soccer in his heart. You know, he worked at Anheuser-Busch for quite some time. You know, started with the getting involved with U.S. soccer in World Cup 94. So this is a guy that's really helped build the game in our country and especially in our city. You know, having Dan there putting his seal of approval on this says something. It says that this city is ready for the game. We're ready to take that next step, but it needs that vote. And we have to get that vote through on Tuesday, no matter what. So if you need to take, you know, if you need to take the afternoon off and drive grandma or the aunt or whoever lives in the city to vote, and have them vote on props 1 and 2, do it. You know, whatever it's going to take, we have to get this passed through. So at this time, everybody was kind of getting ready to head out, and we grabbed one last interview before they headed out. Brad DeMundbrun of our podcast is a huge Brad Davis fan. He always has been. And, you know, I wouldn't let Brad Davis get away without getting a chance to talk to us. So I, you know, wrangled my Brad to talk to the Brad. And got a moment for DeMundbrun to fanboy out a little bit.
We're with Brad Davis, U.S. men's national team and MLS superstar Brad Davis, also from St. Louis.
And did his career in Kansas City, but now it's time to come back here.
Brad, how much would it have meant to you as a local kid playing here to have a team in your city to aspire to?
It would have been amazing. Taylor and I touched on it a bit earlier, you know, growing up and in the passion of the city. Soccer was the sport here growing up as a kid for us. We essentially had to look forward to the high school championships at the soccer park, 2,500 people going out there and packing the park and stuff like that. But
which was amazing back in the day for soccer.
Absolutely. It's what we had, and people made the most of it. So to be able to now look and see the opportunity that we sit in as a city to have the opportunity to have an MLS team is surreal. It's exciting, and now is our opportunity to make up for the so-called lost time that we've had. So we're all looking forward to it. Hopefully everybody gets out and votes next Tuesday, and we get this thing passed.
One other thing, I know you specifically did a lot of charity work. You worked really well with veterans throughout your career. I think that's something that we talk about, the community benefits agreement, and we know the team is going to do probably more than they've committed to, but the players themselves, you guys give a lot back, and I think that aspect of what you will bring, MLS players will bring to the city, really needs to be talked up a bit.
It is. It's a very important piece, and you know, in all honesty, we wish we had a little bit more time to talk about that tonight in front of some folks, but it didn't work out.
You got tickets?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Yep. Honestly, the community is what drives the team. You have to have the opportunity to get the team, but the community is essential. It is the opportunity. You just asked me the question about, well, what would have happened if you would have had a team to look up to and aspire to. Well, that is...
coming out to your practices.
Yeah,
and
that is what you aspire to as a kid. They finally have folks that they look up to. They can go to the stadium and see the opportunity that they have that actually sits in front of them. When you watch it on TV, it's one thing. When you can actually go sit in a stadium and get an autograph, say hi, take a picture with somebody that you really admire as a young kid looking up to somebody, it's totally different. And you can actually then go into these communities, and it is a real thing. I still keep in contact with many of the people that I met through the community outreach programs. And we go, and we've done tons of things for them. We've built homes. We've helped revitalize communities. You put your stamp. We use our platform to make the community a better place, because in turn, they're going to come out and they're going to support you. And it's the world's game for a reason, because it brings everybody together. And this just is in a smaller scale in our community. It'll bring us together.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
So at this point in time, all our celebrities headed over to the Blues game. Blues were taking on, I don't even remember who they were taking on, but it didn't really matter because it was St. Louis FC night at the game. And, you know, they had giveaways. Our man PK was down on the ice with the rally people. A great moment for us as Louisvillians was during one of the breaks in play when they do the trivia questions to give away a St. Louis FC ticket for Saturday's home opener. The St. Louisvillians were one of the questions asked when we were founded. And to have that happen, that was pretty special for us as Louisvillians who have been around for a while, to have the two mix, to have the two worlds cross. And really a great moment to kind of cap off the day, to see, you know, the Louisvillians being a trivia question at the Blues game. It shows that this town is really ready for the third sport, to have, you know, that brand that comes in and partners with the Cardinals and the Blues for these kind of events, to have that street of hopefully champions at some point in time down Market Street from Busch Stadium to Scott Trade to, we'll just call it Fred Stadium for the time being until they get the official sponsorship. So at this point, we were all happy and ready to go home. We had our scarves, got home, got an opportunity to rewatch the press conference that they had given earlier in the day. And there was one moment that really stood out to us, and I wanted to put it on here, is that there's a reporter here in town, and I'm not going to give him any more clicks because he's gotten way more attention than he ever should, who's looking to make a name for himself as being controversial, but he's not doing it in the good ways that Burwell and Strauss did it. He's going for the cheap pops. He's going for the cheap hits. And he tried to corner Edgerly and Kavanaugh on the heartstring pull. He tried to get the, what would you tell a single mother, you know, with a child who's poor and can't afford things in life, why we should give a stadium? And it's a cheap distraction. It's an underhanded attempt to try to curry favor with those that may not think that this is a good idea. And quite frankly, he tried to push it through and tried to, you know, make himself look better. And Jim Kavanaugh was not having any of it. And again, proving why these guys are smart businessmen. They know the numbers. They figured it out. They don't go into these things to lose. They don't go into these things to do badly. And Jim rightfully put this hack reporter in his place. And it was a proud moment. And there's so many people that were great fans of this moment that I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and rip the audio and put it in place here for you. So for the moment, we'll close here with the dressing down by Jim Kavanaugh of somebody that just doesn't understand things, that's trying to get around facts and trying to not make it happen. So enjoy, and again, please come out on the 2nd and vote. If you have the opportunity, if you are registered in the city of St. Louis, if you have family that is, please get them to come out and vote. This is important. Propositions 1 and 2 to help build our stadium. These guys are sinking $250,000 into this project. Nobody else is putting that kind of money into the city of St. Louis. IKEA gets $186 million tax credit through the Cortex development. There's a development in Central West End that was wanting $18 million. The Cardinals have gotten over $150 million in tax credits. You know, the Dome had got a ridiculous amount of tax credits. They were going to build a near billion-dollar stadium for the Rams, and nobody complained. But now that it's gone, suddenly, you know, they want to use this as where they're going to make a stand. And unfortunately, it's just not the right place. These are guys that are investing in St. Louis, that are helping to build up that area around the Union Station to help revitalize that corridor, to get things back to where people from out of town want to come in and stay in St. Louis. So when you hear these people making these talking points about what do you tell the poor people? How do you use this money when it could go somewhere else? That money doesn't exist. And here's Jim Kavanaugh to tell you why. We'll see you Saturday at the home opener. Thank you.
Income than is being requested. Do you not understand that?
I don't agree, but you're the one answering the question.
Yes, I am. And it's going to generate more revenue than is being requested. That's different than somebody donating money. Over the long term, there's $60 million put out. The projection is we will return $77 to $78 million on top, plus another $5 million with the community benefits agreement that we have. So it's not that you use that money. We are actually returning. We are providing a return on the tax dollar that is provided. I'm not sure if that's confusing, but that's the way that this model is laid out.
And I agree that you view it that way. My question is there another place where this money can be spent? Whereas, like, the people who are opposed to this, they say that this should be spent right now on developing our youth.
Sure.
If you could spend it on police and save one life.
But let me just explain one thing. That the $78 million it won't be generated without the stadium and without the MLS team. It doesn't happen. Do you understand that? That the tax revenue that is generated from ticket sales and concessions and all of the dollars that we're talking about, those dollars don't happen without the MLS team and the stadium.
Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike.